Hello everyone and welcome to Next Generation Saints. I'm your host, Nick Coons. Before we get started today, I want to go remind everyone to like and subscribe to this episode wherever you may be listening to this podcast. It helps get into the algorithm so more people get to hear the Word of God. So today is going to be a Give Me an Answer by Cliff and Stuart Connectly. The title is, Can Life Really Come from Inanimate Non-Life Matter? I've heard this argument many times from atheists, I know you have too, and I'd love to hear their answers to this question. So, without further ado, please enjoy Give Me an Answer.
If you're going to buy into the scientific method, you need to look at effects. Where are the effects? We see the effects when it comes to something that can't come from nothing. You have to have something that designs something else. When you hear a door shut, there's a loud bang. There's got to be a banger behind that door. The effects, you have to describe as an atheist, where do these things come from? You can't just say, science will figure it out one day, or somehow this just popped into existence and then just started happening.
If I go through my whole life and I have no proof of God, then do I just go to hell? There's no proof within me for me to believe God, to verify God is real. How does that come to me then if how am I to believe God?
The reason that you should believe that God exists is because the order and design of the universe points to some type of intelligent mind. Secondly, the fact that you have reason points you to the fact that there's got to be a rational being behind you. Why? Because reason does not come from non-reason. Reason comes from reason. This.
Yes, but
does not bring about reason.
We're coming to a point where it's like where you're grabbing at reason from non-reason. You're trying to rationalize things that we can't possibly understand. Like, there's no way we can verify the, like, what was before our existence. There's no way we can verify what was before Earth or even before the universe. So
if you mean prove, I agree. If you mean evidence, I disagree. I cannot prove to you that that was made by a watchmaker. But the overwhelming evidence of the intricate order and design of the wristwatch convinces me this was not an accident that came together on the side of the road that I picked up this morning. This is a result of an intelligent mind bringing order out of chaos.
I love this example, but it's also, you can understand the watchmaker. You can't understand God creating universe.
No, you're right, I can't. But I can understand that order and design do not come about by chance out of chaos. I do understand that reason does not come from non-reason. Reason comes from reason. I do understand that plant life, animal life, and human life comes from life. No plant life, no human life, no animal life comes from non-life. An atheist is someone who says, oh, no. Life comes from non-life. Reason comes from non-reason.
I have an objection.
Okay, what is it?
Cells come from non-life, like the basic unit living of life come from non-life. And that's what animals come
what?
From. Cells? Like, cells don't just come into being, they come from like non-living things.
Like what?
Like, I'm not sure what cells are made. I mean, quarks. Quarks are atoms, things like that. You say those are non-living, correct?
This is non-life. Inanimate matter. You don't get life coming out of inanimate matter. Do you?
Well, it's sort of the thing where like monkeys and humans, so we both came from a common ancestor, but we diverged, correct?
Okay.
Right?
So what?
So, I mean, non-life and life
no,
could have diverged
from a monkey's a living being.
Sorry?
A monkey is a living animal. What? So if we come from monkeys, it doesn't change the fact that life comes from life. Now, if you're going to tell me that we come out of a brick, that we come out of this metal here,
I'm saying, wow. I'm saying we diverge. So, like, monkeys right now, we don't come from them. We come from an ancestor of the monkey.
Okay.
And then we diverge. So, like, same thing could happen with life and this brick. Like, we both are made of the same atoms, and somehow the atoms diverge into some organization of cells, and these didn't, and now they're bricks. Does that make sense?
Nope. Doesn't make sense.
Top-down model is, there is a creator, he has created these things to operate. right? You're saying there's created things that haven't been created, and they're just working up, supposedly causing all these things to exist. You got to, if you're going to buy into the scientific method, you need to look at effects. Where are the effects? We see the effects when it comes to something that can't come from nothing. You have to have something that designs something else. When you hear a door shut, there's a loud bang. There's got to be a banger behind that door. The effects, you have to describe as an atheist, where do these things come from? You can't just say science will figure it out one day, or somehow this just popped into existence and then just started happening.
Sometimes it's easier to just to say, yes, God, but in some ways it...
Is it though?
I think it is.
According to Occam's razor, that makes way more sense in terms of just this whole place just popping into existence out of nowhere.
Yeah.
So why don't you buy into the simplest explanation, and that is that there's a mind behind it all. What kind of quest are you on?
I think life is about like taking one step at a time, because no one knows really the meaning, and no one can be certain about the meaning. And so like what's within, like what can you do within your realm of possibility?
So are you gonna worship the search your whole life?
No, I'm not. I wouldn't say I'm searching, but you guys are here, so I'm talking.
One person came out here and said, oh, you guys have given up. You've just accepted a worldview. You've accepted that. Jesus Christ. You should be agnostic about everything your entire life. Oh, please, be agnostic about your agnosticism. Please start to recognize that you are the one who've given up. You're taking the easy route, saying, I'm not going to have any convictions. I'm just going to say we have no idea about anything at all. No, you have to take a leap of faith. Whether it's to be an atheist, whether it's to be a Christian, a Muslim, a Buddhist, there's going to be faith involved in all of them. But please take that leap eventually.
I'd say I'm more agnostic. I mean, there's the possibility that it definitely could be. But I haven't found proof or validation, so I wouldn't call myself a Christian.
Think about your experience when it comes to love, when it comes to beauty, when it comes to suffering. Okay. Think about all those things, because I like that you're talking about it's beyond logic. And what makes the most sense out of your experience in life? How does something like atheism answer all those questions? It doesn't. All atheism does is tries to poke hole in logic itself, not the experience. Does there need to be an answer? There needs to be a qualified piece of evidence for something that makes sense of your experience of life. So how do you think through your own identity, your personhood? How do you think through your reason, your consciousness, like we've been talking about? Where did that come from? You got to be thinking through these things, because then you're right. Those are beyond logic. That's part of our experience. When you're on your deathbed, you are going to be immensely feeling these things. It's not just going to be logic and thinking through the evidence. You're going to be feeling these things, and you're going to have to figure out, okay, is there a God or not? Because Steve Jobs, when he was on his deathbed, he finally started to understand there probably is a God. Read his autobiography. He started off atheist, kind of dabbled in Buddhism, but he got to the point of saying, you know what? All of my life experience and all of my relationships, you know, I really screwed up with my relationships with my family, actually, Steve Jobs said. And yet I don't think all of my experience and work and relationships, there's no way that all can just end with the click of a mouse. And he said that before he died of cancer. That was experience was coming down on top of him, landing on him and saying, wow, God makes the most sense of my life.
I think there's an inherent bias that he's about to die.
So what's biased about that?
He's about to die.
So yeah, it's going to happen to all of us. We're all going to die.
Of course, of course.
So what's biased about that? It's reality, right? This man's going to die, I'm going to die.
He fears the loss of connection of life.
Yeah.
And so then he must ascertain there must be a reason, because there's the fear of him.
No, he didn't say wish fulfillment. That's Freudian. Steve Jobs was immensely logical and razor sharp with his intellect. He simply said, it doesn't make sense after all of this work and all these relationships and all that I've accumulated here on Earth just to end up stopping. He didn't say, I really want to see my family again and I really want to finish that the project I had at Apple. He didn't say any of that. He said that this, in my experience, is really speaking to me. So it wasn't wish fulfillment, it wasn't a fear of death that he had.
Now, we're all going to die, obviously. So I hope we're going to ask, is there any evidence, not proof, is there any evidence that there's life after death? Jesus died on a cross, was buried, 3 days later, rose from the dead. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies.
And there's a great bias to not believing in God, too, on your deathbed. It's, wow, there's no judgment day. Whatever I did, there's no moral accountability. This is great. I'm not going to believe in God. This is awesome. See, a lot of people have that as well.
Is there a creative mechanism anywhere in evolution? Nope. Radiation adaptation? Chance mutations, natural selection? Yep. Lots of that. But is there a creative mechanism in evolution? No. That is why it is far more reasonable to say, in the beginning, God, than it is to say, in the beginning, matter and energy. Because there's no creative mechanism in evolution. Chance mutations, natural selection, yes, lots of it. Creative mechanism? Nope. Is it reasonable to believe that existence comes from non-existence? Nope.
I don't know if I agree with the creative mechanism questions.
All right, what's the creative mechanism in evolution?
I don't understand how that pertains to, like, how would it make sense that God is creative? But what does that even mean? I don't know.
It means it's more reasonable to believe that something comes from someone than it is to believe that something comes from nothing, especially in the light of the fact that there's no creative mechanism anywhere in evolution. Lots of adaptation, lots of mutation of what already exists and what already is alive.
How can we say God has this human concept of creativity? But if it's like something we can't even imagine to understand, like why should he be put, like, need these limits to do anything in this, be creative in nature or whatever you say? I don't know.
All right, before we go on, I want to thank you. It's an honor talking with you. And I like the way we met. You dancing out here, that's just fine. You don't need to apologize to me for that. That's just fine. But the way you think, I like. You're reasonable, you're logical, and I think that's outstanding, and I respect you highly for that, okay? So thank you for respecting
Cliff,
me enough
Cliff,
to talk.
Right?
Yeah, I'm Cliff. You're
Aaron.
Aaron, good to meet you, Aaron. And that's Stuart.
Stuart.
Nice to meet you.
Aaron, nice to meet you.
Good to meet you.
Okay, but Aaron, if it's true what Jesus said, that God really loves you, and that God wants you to spend eternity in heaven alive, instead of dead, isn't there a powerful drive in you to check it out? Maybe it's not true. But I mean, come on. You know what happens if you and I get hit hard, start bleeding, we hemorrhage. We're going to the best doctor we can get, the best hospital. Why? Because we affirm life. So Aaron and Cliff affirm life. We know we're going to die someday. Jesus Christ was dead, rose from the dead. Doesn't mean, just because I say that, doesn't mean you're going to believe in him. But don't you think you should read the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, check out the historical source document, and figure out, did this really occur or not?
Actually, I haven't read the Bible for a while.
Would you read it?
If I have the time.
Yeah, but why not?
I think there's so much, I agree that love is the answer, but so many people to help. Like, if I'm just reading the Bible instead of working on something that I think can help others, I think that's more of a waste of time.
Okay.
But
all right, but wait a second.
I find the time.
You're a student here, right?
Yes.
Which means you're preparing for at most a 60-year career. And you're spending a lot of money, or somebody is, and a lot of time getting a degree here. So if you're going to get a degree here, that's going to lead to, at most, a 60-year career. Don't you think it would be wise to check out eternity and the possibility of eternal life? Don't you think that deserves a little bit of your time?
If I were to be selfish.
Selfish?
Because I want to see eternity compared to helping others have happiness in the current moment, I think.
Okay. I would argue that eternal life is not selfish. It's an affirmation of your life. Your life is significant. You are valuable. Why? Because God made you, and he made you to enjoy eternity. You and I have blown it. We've sinned. We have deserved death. But now Christ is offering us eternal life. Don't you think that that offer deserves a little bit of study?
It does. I agree. Thank you for this.
Thank you, Aaron. Good to meet you, sir.
We see throughout today that like a lot of churches and a lot of priests and pastors have kind of twisted the word and the teachings of Jesus in a way that is not consistent with him. So what do you say to those churches, and how can we revert back to the original teachings of what Jesus intended for us to learn?
Progressive Christianity basically says, let's take the foundational truths of Christianity and make them more palatable to the typical average American. So how are we going to make it more palatable? Let's remove this idea of sin. I mean, sinful since birth? No, Rousseau was right. It's ultimately culture that turns a person dark in some kind of way. So they disagree with Freud, who said, no, you were born with original sin. It's the one area Freud agrees with Christians on. So sin would be one. The other would be the cross. Ugh, a suffering God? That's ridiculous. That's absurd. We need to get rid of that idea. Another one would be the Old Testament God. One who judges? Let's get rid of it. So progressive Christianity comes in and says, let's smooth it all over. So the sex ethics, let's completely get it updated to what our culture says. A loving God, yes. A God of justice and judgment, absolutely not. A God of blood dying on a cross, absolutely not. And so that's how a lot of this progressive Christianity has been adapted to fulfill the needs of a typical American, and by doing so has ripped away the central tenets of the faith. So that would be one example.
Part of my question was also, how can we change that and revert back to the original teachings that God intended, Jesus
right.
intended?
This buddy Jacob, who was just stepping in here, saying, no debating. Okay, the very essence of our nation was built off of debating ideas. All men and women are created equal. Thomas Jefferson. Innately equal. A pursuit of happiness. Okay, why? There are others who debated that. Many would say no. There are people of certain ethnicities who are not created equal. So why is it, Thomas Jefferson, why are you coming in and saying, innately, all are created equal, all have these certain rights that you talk about? Well, it was formed through debate. And it was formed through the Christian teachings, Jesus Christ's teachings that said all are equal no matter what. There's neither Jew nor Gentile, male nor female, slave nor free. All are created in the image of God. And so Thomas Jefferson, even though not a Christian, he really respected Christianity, and he debated and said, this is what we need. So we've got to start with debate. We got to love them. You got to love everybody. That's what Christ teaches. But you need to have vigorous debates. And in the Roman Empire, in Athens, the Areopagus, everywhere, debate was going on, debating ideas. And so this guy who was just in here, no debate, let's try and just agree on everything. First of all, that's impossible. Secondly, we could easily all put our heads in the sand and act like Hamas and act like, you know, obviously Palestine and Israel, all of that is not going on. We could agree on anything that could be tremendously harmful to our society. So you have to debate ideas. So I'd start with debate. Secondly, I would clearly preach louder. Political correctness is really harming a lot of Christians, because that's the cultural piece that's also seeping into the church, which is privatized religion. Don't talk, don't do this, and don't be loud at all with your faith. The culture is going to be loud with its ideals, but never confront the culture in a loud kind of way. No, you have to speak up. You have to speak out. So those are two different ways.
Appreciate it.
Years ago at Harvard, a valedictorian stood up and said, for 4 years I've been taught that I can believe whatever I want to believe, just as long as I don't believe it's true. That's tragic. Because that's a statement about reality and your brain. It's a statement that your brain cannot perceive reality. Just believe whatever you want to believe, but the one thing you got to do is, you can't believe that it's true. That is tragic. I'm sorry. World War II did happen. And millions of Jews were gassed to death. I'm sorry. Slavery in the United States really did occur. Tragic. And if you deny it, you're living in fantasy land. And I'm sorry. There really is a war going on today between Ukraine and Russia and between Hamas and Israel. And if you deny that, You're living in fantasy land. The challenge for you and me, because we have been created by a rational God and given a rational mind, is we have to pursue truth. 122 out of the 123 colleges first founded in this country were committed to Jesus Christ and the Bible, beginning with Harvard, Yale, Princeton. Why? Because the Bible insists God is a rational being who creates us in his image with rational minds, and we are to use those rational minds to grasp truth. So it doesn't matter whether you're in science, literature, psychology, mathematics, history, pursue truth. Never become arrogant with your intellect. Arrogance is, I know it all. Sir, I don't care how many postdoc degrees you get. You're never going to know everything there is about biology, chemistry, history, physics. Exhaustive knowledge in any area is impossible. But that does not mean that you cannot have partial, accurate knowledge of what is true and real. Jesus Christ said, I am the truth, which means ultimately truth about God is wrapped up in a person, Jesus of Nazareth.
So something you said about like life not coming from non-life.
Yes.
Right? So why is it like, we could use the argument that this universe, it doesn't make sense for it to come out of nothing.
Right.
So, and there has to be something that created the universe, right? So why do we take that, why is that same logic not applicable to God? Like, why could we say, well, why is God there? Like, what created
God? Good question. Who created God? Cliff, if you say that someone had to create the universe, why doesn't it follow that someone created God? I'll tell you why. The Big Bang blew Einstein out of the water, because Einstein was convinced the universe is eternal. And he was a pantheist. He thought the universe is God. Nature is God. But then when George... Sorry? No, Arno. That's Arno Penzias. George Lemaitre?
Yeah, something like that.
Lemaitre, a Belgian Catholic priest, begins to discover the Big Bang. Einstein is fascinated. But then Einstein begins to think about what are the consequences of the Big Bang. The consequences are nature is not eternal, there must be a creator. Because it means the universe has a beginning, if the Big Bang is true. It's not eternal. And Einstein was so opposed to that idea of there being a creator that mathematically he tried to disprove the Big Bang, and he put together a fudge factor to disprove the Big Bang. But some fellow mathematicians showed his dishonesty. And I respect Einstein because he said, you're right. I put that fudge factor in to try and disprove the Big Bang, because he understood philosophically that if the universe does have a beginning, there's got to be a creator. So after he acknowledges that the Big Bang is accurate, he becomes a theist. He begins to believe that there's a God. So here's the point. Everything that has a beginning has a cause. The universe has a beginning, therefore the universe has a cause. I didn't say everything has a cause, right? Because the claim of the Bible is God is eternal. God does not have a beginning, which means God does not have a cause. So to ask the question, who created God, is to worship an idol of God, which is God is temporary. Right? But you see what Jesus Christ in the Bible insists is, no, God doesn't have a beginning. God is not temporal. He's eternal. Does that make any sense? Stuart, what do you think?
So there's a serious depression going on for many atheistic naturalistic scientists who don't believe in God. I'm being serious about this. Emotionally, they are very flat right now because they have had to grapple with, and whether it's Einstein's fudge factor or a big one right now, is redefining nothing as something. Does that follow? Because they're saying, okay, we realize now that the universe did have a beginning, but it's out of supposedly nothing. So that means that if it had a beginning, there had to be something that created it. But now they're saying, well, that nothing is something, so it's actually kind of gone on forever. So the singularity has gone on forever that created this universe. You see how they're trying to turn, even the multiverse theory now has been proven to have not been eternal. There's common agreement now that the universe has had a beginning out of nothing, but again, atheists, materialists, naturalists, they're so depressed about it that they want to do fudge factors, or they want to say that somehow nothing is something. There's never absolute nothing. Okay, that's gibberish, that is ridiculous. So that's the first one. The second one is, God is outside of space and time. You have to have something outside of space and time to create something that is supposedly caught in time, caught in space. We have space here. So you have to have something outside of that to create it. So what is it going to be? It's going to be all powerful. It's going to be all knowing. It's going to be immaterial, creating the material. It's going to be personal to make the decision to actually do this. Now call that whatever you'd like, but that sounds like a God to me. And it sounds like it fits the definition of the Judeo-Christian God probably the best. So reasoning on what is outside of space and time that could have created everything that is in our universe and in our world is what you have to get to.
I'd like to invite you to Grace Community Church, located at 365 Lukeswood Road in New Canaan, Connecticut. Our services are at 9:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. on Sundays. Hope you can join us.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Next Generation Saints. I'm your host, Nick Coons. Hope you enjoyed this episode of Give Me an Answer by Cliff and Stuart Konecki. I hope that it furthered your relationship with Jesus Christ and that it answered some questions. Maybe even inspired some more questions as well to ask. So, before we get going, I want to go and remind everyone to like and subscribe to this podcast. Wherever you may be listening to podcasts, it helps get into the algorithm so a lot more people get to hear the Word of God. And until next time, we meet again. May God richly bless you all, my dearly beloved.